Jaren, I don't even know how to introduce this video. Anything you want to say about it before I play it?
No, somebody sent it to me on Skype said, "Did you hear this before? That the walls of the LEM were two sheets of foil thin?" And I was like, "What?" And so I watched it, and yeah, I immediately sent it to you because I couldn't believe what he found. But this is great.
I can't either. So you guys, listen up to this. You're not going to believe
Really
it.
good engineering.
And mind you, before I play this, I want to remind everybody that we're talking about a 10 to the negative 17th torr vacuum, right? That this craft is supposed to be holding out. And this is NASA people themselves talking about this. So hold on to your chair so you don't fall out of it, but here we go.
So I'm going to play a clip about the construction of the LEM. Hold on a second.
The skin on the crew cabin was very thin, and that was all done because of weight savings. Weight was a very critical item that always had to be considered in anything that you did.
If you really took your finger and poked hard at it, you could poke right through the outer skin of the spacecraft. It was about the thickness of two layers of aluminum foil. But it's the kind of thing that you were reasonably cautious that you didn't jab any pointed objects through.
Okay. Hold on, one more.
The skin, the aluminum alloy skin of the crew compartment, was about 12 thousandths of an inch thick. That's equivalent to about three layers of Reynolds wrap that you would use in the kitchen.
They're trying to tell us that those guys spent 3 days in this little capsule with no climate control at all.
Let's kind of summarize this. This is a lot of information.
Okay. Yeah. So there you have it, direct from NASA themselves. They had to be really careful, otherwise they'd poke a hole right through the couple of sheets of aluminum foil and Reynolds wrap of the LEM.
Don't you just love how they said they had to keep weight in mind? That was a big concern. Number one priority was weight. But what about the extremely powerful vacuum of space? Like, wouldn't that be probably more important than weight, if not at least equally as important as weight? Because the last I checked, the vacuum of space is going to have a huge pressure differential, even on the moon, compared to the interior pressure of this alleged LEM. And for them to say that it was 12 thousandths of an inch thick, or whatever they claim, that's just absolutely absurd. I mean, I cannot believe that people bought that.
Especially in stark contrast to the Sandusky vacuum facility, which has 8-foot-thick concrete and steel walls to hold out a much lesser vacuum. Go ahead, Eero.
No, I just want to make one share screen, because maybe if you didn't know that the spacesuit for going to the moon is also prevent for meteorite impact.
Of course it is. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, and let's take a listen to the official narrative based on the spacesuit. Here we go.
At the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston. This white garment, what is that for?
This is thermal meteorite garments. It's made up into layers. These are the layers of material. The first layer is a Nomex cloth. This whole garment provides protection against radiant energy impinging on the suit from the sun, and also reflected from the moon, and also protects them against meteoroids.
It's protected against meteoroids.
This is energy impinging on the suit from the sun, and also reflected from the moon, and also protects them against meteoroids. This is a most interesting insulation. This insulation only works in a vacuum. It's very similar to the material that we have in a thermos bottle on Earth. It's as though the men were completely enclosed in a thermos jug.
And it keep going and going with bullshit. And I always think in terms of, stop sharing, why this supposedly magical suit is not given to the fireman, for example, to enter into, you know, a building with fire.
Yeah, it's like everything proof, isn't it?
I mean, these suits are magical. You know, they can, you know, fight with any kind of environment, you know. in the worst conditions. So,
yeah.
Well, so,
yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's other instances where NASA is allegedly preventing scientific agencies from saving lives. Like, there's one example where tornado experts, you know, the guys that are responsible for giving tornado warnings, looking at the meteorological data, they claim that if NASA would release their real-time satellite data of the essentially cloud formations on that large scale from their alleged satellites in real time, they could increase the warning time for tornadoes by something like 30 seconds or a minute or something like that, which is pretty drastic, as the tornado warning time is just a matter of seconds. But for some reason, and I think we know what that reason is, NASA will not share that data with the tornado forecasters. And so, you know, just another example of where NASA will never admit that they don't have the data. They'll just say that it's, I don't know. I don't know what their excuse is, honestly.
They'll just make it up. But, you know, and I hate to be unkind, but honestly, after all the evidence that Globusters and Jaron and you and Iru have all presented, and all the other Flat Earth channels, everybody, have presented about NASA fraudery and the impossibility of this, if you are still a believer in the Ball Earth and a believer in the space missions, I'm sorry, but you're an idiot. I just, you know, there's just no other way to say it. You know, I don't want to be unkind, but wow. Especially when you hear them admit this stuff.
The average atmospheric pressure at sea level is 1013.25 mbar. The pressure in interstellar space is approximately 0.000000000000000133 mbar. Space is 0.000000000000000000000000133 mbar. Earth's atmosphere is 1013.25 mbar. The difference in pressure is 76 quintillion, 184 quadrillion, 210 trillion, 526 billion, 315 million, 789,474 times. You know exactly what that means.
One thing I want to point out here, guys, to accentuate the power of the vacuum just a little bit more, and I wanted to put this, and this is directly from NASA's Sandusky, Ohio website on their vacuum enclosure that they created, allegedly for NASA to test in high vacuum conditions. And I want to read this because it really, really drives the point home from any of you that have been listening to Wolfie 6020 and his utter BS rhetoric that, you know, oh yeah, I can dip with the pressure of my tire, no problem, or anything like that. But if that was true, then, you know, we're taking Sandusky, Ohio is probably around 13-14 PSI. I'm sure it's a little above sea level. But let's just read what it says here. It says the concrete chamber enclosure serves not only as a radiological shield, but also as a primary vacuum barrier from atmospheric pressure 130 feet or 40 meters in diameter and 150 feet 46 meters in height. The chamber was designed to withstand atmospheric pressure outside of the chamber at the same time vacuum conditions are occurring within. The concrete thickness varies from 6 to 8 feet. Again, the concrete thickness varies from 6 to 8 feet and contains a leak-tight steel containment barrier embedded within. The chamber doors are 50 by 50 feet and have inflatable seals. The space between the concrete enclosure and the aluminum test chamber is pumped down to a pressure of 20 torrs or 2.7 kilopascals during a test. Now, again, when you look at that, those numbers, the Sandusky facility can generate down to 2 × 10⁻⁶ torr, right? And we're not even remotely close to deep space, right? So again, if you think that that vacuum is not powerful, why in the world would they need steel and 8-foot thick concrete walls? And at another point in there, they also say, because it literally will draw the atmosphere through the steel and the concrete walls if it isn't there. So just, you know, think about that for a while. And the next time somebody tells you that, you know, there's not much difference between 1 PSI and 0 PSI, it's all in the scaling, guys. And there is a huge difference. And this is exactly, you know, how they're trying to hide the fact that there is no way you can have 14.7 PSI next to a 10 to the negative 17th torque.
The skin on the crew cabin was very thin, and that was all done because of weight savings. Weight was a very critical item that always had to be considered in anything that you did.
If you really took your finger and poked hard at it, you could poke right through the outer skin of the spacecraft. It was about the thickness of two layers of aluminum foil.
The skin, the aluminum alloy skin of the crew compartment, was about 12 thousandths of an inch thick. That's equivalent to about three layers of Reynolds wrap that you would use in the kitchen.
We're NASA.